Good morning and welcome to the Garden Conversation. This is Mardell Gunn and I'm here this Thursday morning with Lori Mastrella.
Hi everybody.
Thank you so much for coming on with me. And we had great anticipation of this being my first live show back this year, but I had to be out of town, and so we are pre-recording it a few days before it's going to air this April. So before we get started talking about our subjects of the day, I want to say that pay attention to the plant sales coming up. I'm not going to talk about all of them. You're going to have to seek it out, and maybe in future garden conversations we will list them all. Look for advertisements. There's two nonprofits, one in Skagway, one in Haines. The Victory Garden in Haines and the Skagway Traditional Council is doing one for the Lazy Daisy Farm in Skagway. And so May 26th is the Victory Garden, and the Skagway, we cannot find that date. We know that it's posted, but we can't find the date of when that one is. But hopefully future garden conversation will have that. So, okay, that being said, let's talk about, we got a couple listener questions, which I love to get because it gives us topics to talk about. And when I get together with Lori, there's never any like quick answer because we one rabbit hole to the next rabbit hole. So, and this question in particular led us down many rabbit holes. So the question is, the price of food is getting so expensive. I want to grow some food to cut down on my food costs. What should I grow? I have limited space and limited experience. So this is complicated. So let's see, how should we break it down? Maybe first of all, let's talk about the best crops or the best things for cost benefit. What would you say about that?
Well, the first thing I would say is, what do you like to eat?
That's a good point.
And I'd want to know a little bit more about the site. Is it sunny? Is it cold? But as far as cost, if you like to cook, I would say herbs are probably the easiest, most space efficient, and mm-hmm. most cost efficient of all the things I can think of mm-hmm. right off the top.
And my first one was garlic. But as we were talking about this earlier, it is a little complicated, or it requires a little bit of planning. The best garlic, in my opinion, is fall planted, but it can be planted in the spring very successfully here. But garlic's really expensive, and that's a no-muss, no-fuss crop. You put it in the ground, you ideally put a mulch over it, and voila, that usually takes care of it if you've got good nutrients in your soil. So I would put that in that category of a good cost-benefit. Lettuce is another one. When you go to the store and see the price of lettuce, man.
It's expensive and it's easy to grow. It's pretty fast to grow. Doesn't need the greatest soil. Yeah. Doesn't need a ton of space. Mm-hmm. Doesn't yep. care if it's not a real hot spot. So
that might be,
that'd
a
be right
good
up
one.
There.
Yeah. And another one that I put in that category is berries. Raspberries in particular, if you get those in, you can have them for 25 years.
That's a longer term project.
Yeah,
so if the listener is talking about this year, raspberries aren't going to be the thing. No. But if the listener is talking about over time, I would agree about both garlic mm-hmm. and raspberries.
Yeah. And strawberries as well. They're a little bit more complicated and take a little bit more work. But berries in general grow quite well here, and they are ridiculously expensive. So, and fortunately, we have foraging for blueberries we can get, you know, pretty easy here.
Foraging's another whole cost savings topic.
Yeah,
but
that's right.
Agree, yes.
So we did talk about limited space. Lettuce is pretty good for that.
Peas, you can go vertical.
Yeah, that's a good point. You can go up high. Herbs can be on a windowsill, so that's a nice easy. Another thing, as I'm seeing in your windowsill, you have some microgreens growing.
I do.
Yeah. And so I think those are an amazing bang for your buck because they have some of the highest nutrient density of any food. So
fast, easy, just take a windowsill. The only downside is they do burn through some seed.
Yeah, they
take a lot of seed, but mm-hmm. and you can do them now. I mean, here we are, it's a lot of snow on the ground at my house mm-hmm. and I'm growing. I really like the daikon Daikon microgreens are so good.
Yes,
and zucchini if you have a hot spot, because they will make a lot of sheer poundage for you if they're happy.
Yeah,
but they are not going to put up with a lot of wind and rain. They need, you know, a nice little warm corner tucked by your house, or some, at least some heat and protection.
And so then in this last category of the easiest, somebody who says I have limited experience, I would put in that category kale and chard, just because those are some of the easiest greens.
If you like them.
If you like them, that's true. And they also require a little bit of space, that's for sure. And potatoes. Now, potatoes aren't very expensive when you go to the store, so they're probably one of the more economical vegetables to buy. But the advantage of potatoes is that you can store them all winter long.
Sure.
Well, I guess that depends upon if you have a good storage place to do it. But you can store them longer than most vegetable crops.
Right.
Sure.
So that does lead to the question. I wonder if the listener is talking about cost savings in the immediate short term or in the longer term, because we could talk about storage crops versus a summer garden. So, you know, the answer to the question, it depends a lot on what you're looking for. There's lots of options, lots of great options.
And it's a really complicated question. But so I think we've kind of gone over a few of the options. One thing I will add to it is don't start with tomatoes or cucumbers, as I've seen many people who move to town say, I'm in Alaska, I'm going to grow vegetables. And tomatoes and cucumbers are very possible here, but don't start that as your first crop if you're a beginning gardener. So
Or peppers, corn or eggplants.
Yeah.
We could talk about carrots and beets. I mean, they, you know, they're delicious and not too hard to grow, but they do take some attention early season. They need to be thinned and weeded pretty carefully early season. But once they get up and going, they pretty take care of themselves pretty well. And they will give you some poundage. And they store well if that's what you're looking for.
Okay, I think we've covered that topic. I got some listener tips in from a listener who doesn't want to come on the radio and talk about this, but had some interesting tips that I want to read. I plant painted daisies and marigolds in my greenhouse, and I have found it to help with aphids. So when I read this, my first thought was, oh, that attracts beneficials, meaning the beneficials, I mean the
predators, pest predators.
Yep, exactly. And with a little further research, I think that is true, but with a little further research, I also realized that painted daisies, it's a common name, so I'm not sure that it actually is referring to this plant, but it's a plant, a chrysanthemum plant, which has pyrethrins in it. And pyrethrins are a natural insecticide, and it will repel and actually kill aphids, but so it probably means that aphids are not going to be attracted to that plant. Is that going to mean it's not attracted to the plants that are near it? That's a good question. So,
well, the listener had good enough results to report.
To report
so
it.
Probably meant the whole greenhouse, I'm guessing.
Yep. So, and marigolds, that is a very common for many, many years. People talk about planting marigolds among their crops. And so, and I've read some people say that, yes, it's very true. And I've heard and read that some people say, oh, it's an old wives' tale. So whatever that means.
I don't know. I mean, I do it, but how would I know how the garden was doing if they weren't there?
Exactly. So you do some things just on faith.
They're pretty.
they
don't take up much space.
And I actually like the smell of them. Some people do not like the smell of marigolds, but I do. So, yeah. And then the last thing that they wrote was, I got aphids in my seedlings, and I spray them with a garlic spray. So this led me to go online and look, how do you make a garlic spray? And there are a ton of recipes of how to do it. And I think one thing that was consistent is that you need to use fresh garlic spray, meaning that you can't make a big, huge amount of it and use it all summer. And so you make up a fresh amount, spray it on, and you, like any sort of, especially for aphids, you need to repeatedly do it. One time, it's not
Yeah, so make a small batch and use it all, and then
do it again
small
a
fresh
few days
batches.
later.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you very much for those tips. We are totally open to having people make suggestions, and you don't have to come on air and talk with us. So I wanted to mention those. And so now we have a few minutes to talk about another question, which is enough to have probably two garden conversations on. So we're going to just hit a few topics or a few things on this topic. So the question is, I'm building a greenhouse this summer. What do you wish that you had known before you built yours? Now, we both have different greenhouse. We have Lori has a lot of hoop house experience. And did you have a greenhouse when you were in Sitka?
I did. I had an attached greenhouse on a house.
So we
which
both,
is completely different.
Completely
actually.
Different. That's why I'm pointing it out that a hoop house is different than an attached greenhouse. Mm-hmm. And of course, my dome, which is a kind of halfway between, is different. So of course, it depends upon what kind of greenhouse you're building. But so anything that you have to say to this person, what do you wish that you knew before you?
Well, in every case, ventilation.
And ventilation.
And not overcrowding your plants, which is related, which is also a ventilation issue. Mm-hmm. You want a lot of air moving.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's going to be mold problems. And and it's hard for the plants sometimes to get enough water. It's a whole different can of worms from outside garden. Mm-hmm.
And I do think that that's something to recognize. And maybe I didn't realize until I started growing in structures that it is a whole different can of worms. You're going to have different challenges. There's going to be likely most people, except my friend Lori Mistrella, all have aphid problems. You're doing something right that you don't have.
We just have a lot of air moving, and we have a lot of flowers, which I think does attract those beneficial predators, pest predators, and I don't know, maybe good luck.
Yeah, and I do think that you're really correct that ventilation is not only fans, but you're talking about you lift up the sides of your hoop house.
Oh yeah, we have the sides and the ends mostly open most of the summer. Yeah,
I think that makes for a way better greenhouse and having something
and not
enclosed.
To discourage people, because it's super exciting to be able to catch and hold some heat.
It is.
It allows you to grow things.
Tomatoes, peppers.
Tomatoes, you know. It allows you to grow things that are difficult outside. So go for it, but don't crowd
don't crowd
them too much.
And be prepared to learn a different things. It's not the same as growing outside, that's for sure. One thing, if your garden is going to be, or if your greenhouse is going to be covered all the time, then you have to be concerned about salts building up in your soil, which if you grow outside, you don't have to think about that. We have enough rain to flush it all
right. Again,
out.
Soil management inside a greenhouse is completely different from outside. So that is a topic for an entire garden conversation, really.
Yeah. We could talk about greenhouses for a long time. Diseases also can be a problem in a greenhouse. Again, overcrowding, I think, can lead to that. But you got to remember that you're in a contained space, so that diseases can travel very quickly in your greenhouse. And so be aware of that as well. Anything else that we need to talk about with that? I mean, well, we could talk for another 15 minutes, but we're coming to the end of our 15 minutes on this week. There was one other thing that in our pre-talk, you talked about what you plant among your zooks. It came out of a...
Borage. Yeah. Borage is a really good in the greenhouse. It's a little bit rangy. You know, it's going to be not going to control itself. It's going to want to go all
it
over.
It does. It's a little invasive.
But it
invasive.
Sucks in the pollinators really well.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah.
And even outside, for people who grow zooks outside, it can be a good thing.
And you
thing.
Can freeze the little flowers in your ice cube
they
and
are.
Have
they're
cute drinks.
Very cute. And they're a beautiful flower.
Yeah.
So. All right. Well, we are coming to the end of our time. Thank you so much for answering these questions with me, Lori.
And oh, yeah.
We are about ready to embark on another gardening season. And
something will grow. Eat what grows.
That's right. Thanks. All right. Happy gardening, everyone.